You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, good morning. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today. Dr. Michelle Live, the path of life, the path of breath, the path of always striving, seeking truth, seeking peace, seeking harmony and balance in times of complete and utter chaos. This is what we do. This is what our life is like. Always in my world, my world really, as far as whether it's my vocation, my profession, my inclinations, it's I've always had this interface with people who, like me, are in the extremes of life and then everything in between. So we find ourselves in a place where I find myself in a place where I wanted to constantly go back to the affirmative. I constantly want to go back to the positive and to the encouragement. That is where I seek. That is where I go. That's the road I'm walking on. When I'm in the desert, when I'm in a broken down by the side of the road, I can freak out. I can have all kinds of problems, but I want to find the one flower at the side. I want to be able to see, how is this done? And I have experienced myself how I can go in less than a second from feeling it's almost like the sun when it breaks through clouds. And if you've ever been in a place somewhere on the planet where when the sun is out, it is so hot and beautiful and warm. And the atmosphere, wherever you are, the desert does this, different places, the water in the atmosphere kind of is gone. And so when a cloud comes by, it's the temperature drops. And that's kind of how I feel oftentimes. And I know you do too, where you can be get it, or you can have a moment when you're when you are communing with other people, when you're helping someone else, or you are singing with someone else, or you are just interchanging with someone at a grocery store. And then you can walk out, or you can be in mass, or you can be out of confession, or you can be in your own private contemplative prayer, walking in the wilderness somewhere, walking in some kind of park, and just feel like, okay, all is right. All is right. I get this. I'm with you. Or you can read a psalm. And then boom, like that cloud cover, cloud just rolls by and it just feels like I don't get it now. So my drive all the time is to say, my face is down in the dirt. I need to look up. I need to look up. I need to look up. And I know for you, it's the same kind of thing. So many of you are going to have your holidays the way you have your holidays, and they're great. And you cook, and there's family, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. What of you, who of you right now just found out that a family member is in a hospital, just found out that your diagnosis, because the world marches on. So you have your doctor's appointment on Thursday before Christmas, and Friday before Christmas, you find out that there's a possibility you may have cancer. Or there's a suspicious looking something on your lung or on your adrenal gland. Or you're reminded of the traumas that hit in the Christmases before. Perhaps you miscarried on a Christmas. That happens a lot. I know lots of people that's happened to. It's very painful. Very, you know, it's like, and when it's happening, you just kind of do your thing, you go on. But the hole that it leaves, the memory that it leaves comes back later. May not know exactly that that's what you're hurting about, but it does. And that's why I'm here. This is Dr. Michelle Live, and I'm not here to give you any kind of medical advice, but to try to put the pieces together in a way that keeps all of us on the path, all of us on the road, all of us going forward, even in our darkest hours. I find it extremely valuable when someone is talking to me that they have gone through something. They may not go through what I've gone through and vice versa. But if they've gone through the hard knocks, if they've eaten a few faces full of dirt themselves, if you've ever been body surfing, I used to as a kid all the time. And so often we would just be out there just having a gas and we didn't care about anything. We didn't look, we didn't think about danger. We just, if we tumbled and tumbled, we never thought we could break an arm or a leg. It just was what it was. If we rode a wave, that's great. If we got just down to where you're just tumble with this tide and you're just like spit out on the shore like Jonah, that was okay. And every once in a while, you'd see something and you'd be all day long. And then here comes a wave, could not even be that big of a wave looking. And it gets you just the wrong way, the right way, whatever. And you're twisting and turning. You're not really doing a great tumble. And then you end up with your face literally planted in the sand. And you can't get your bearings and you can't get your feet down. And yet, once you get up, you realize that there's like, you're in like an inch of water. You're not even in a deep water, but at that moment, you have no perspective. You could just as well be out in the middle of the ocean until you hit that ground with your face. And even then, as the water goes over you, it's not until you lift your face, your eyes open up and you realize you're not even in the water anymore. It just receded. It spit you out. But when we're there in the wet and we're there in the cold and we're there with our face downward, that's when we feel it. So for the brokenhearted, for the disenfranchised, for the divorced, for the divorcing, for the sick, for the needy, for the stressed out, for the accused, for the misjudged, this is why I'm here. This is why I am here. And it's not to be for them, but it's to be, I am one. So, you know, it's the island of misfit toys, and it's a great big island. It's a great big island. And you're all part of it. You would not be seeking if you weren't part of it. It is not the well that need a physician, but the sick, says Jesus. And take that in the broadest sense. We can sit back and go, yeah, it's very common to have this as some kind of a comfort or some kind of a caveat. Well, we all have problems. Everybody has problems. You don't understand. Everybody has problems. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. You're not the only one is something you do not say to someone who's suffering. Whether they're in the middle of a loss, whether they're in the middle of a divorce, whether they're in the middle of just having a miscarriage, whether they're in the middle of a death, when they're in the middle of one of their family members being put in a hospital, whether in the middle of one of a beautiful Christmas holiday and maybe a yearly party they give, but one of their sons or daughters is noticeably absent and it hurts because they've gone off on some cult or they've gone off into drugs or they're in a hospitalized for an eating disorder. That is something you don't say. That's going to be my thing for today. I'm not going to talk about that today, but it's coming up right now. You're not the only one. Only tends to be very punitive, very dismissing, very demeaning, and it doesn't help because it wouldn't help you either. Because at that moment, you are the only one. When your mother dies, you're the only one who's that mother's just died. That's very bad English. Do you know what I'm saying? I know you do. When you're the one who's holding that x-ray. I had, you know, it didn't hit me then as it's hitting me right now, but I had an experience once where I was a resident. I think I was a resident. I may have been before residency. And something happened. I can't remember. I had to have an x-ray and an MRI for something that was going on. Maybe I had just been in a car accident. And I'm sitting in this waiting room with the television on back then. So now it's even worse. And I'm thinking all these people, this crazy television going on. And I'll tell you the rest of the story on the other side of the break. But there's something very touching happened. And I want you to take it and grasp it. And I know you will identify with it. We have our moments. We all have our moments. And when it happens to you, it is your moment. And it's supposed to be your moment. And what is happening to you has never happened to anyone before, like you, because you're the only one it's happened to at that moment. In other words, you may be in a room full of people who have the same problem, but each one of you is feeling it, only you at that moment. I'm going to explain that better on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. 5734BREAD4. You can call, you can text, you can talk about anything that's going on right now, whatever's on your heart, whatever problem you may be having, whatever sadness that's come into your life in the last week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks. You can also email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So here's my little story that just kind of came as I was talking. I didn't realize it was dug in there, the picture, but I know many of you are having this issue right now. I know a sweet, beautiful young woman in her early 30s. I mean, this woman is the poster child for the gorgeous California girl. And she's from, the East Coast somewhere. But beautiful husband, gorgeous, just wonderful new husband. And she was diagnosed with a pretty bad disease and thought that maybe she would be doing a lot better, back to her job within a few months. And that was probably 9 or 10 months ago, and not doing so well. So these things do happen and you don't expect them. And that's why they are so shocking. So here I am in this situation where I'm a resident or something. It was a long time ago. And I was sitting in this little tiny room waiting for my x-ray. And what this brings up, the image this brings up, is what we have to fight against in our world and in our culture. It was a little room and the TV was on and everyone's there like clutching their slips to be able to get a x-ray or an MRI or whatever they had to do. It was in radiology. And they're all just clutching and the TV's going on and there's like canned laughter in the background. To me, it's an awful scene. Supposedly that keeps you distracted. It might for a while. I don't know why there's always TVs everywhere, but they're there. But basically your heart is freaking out and you don't know what's up next. Now, if you just happen to sprain your leg on the soccer field, it may not be so tough for you. So I'm sitting there. And in walks this man who looks so distressed and his hair looked a little sweaty and greasy. And his face just had a look of distress on the on his face. It was something that would just kind of melt your heart. Fear, unknowing, distress, just fear, I guess. And then I recognized him, and he was one of my attending physicians. Attending meaning when you go to medical school, you go to residency, you have an attending physician, which means you're like the little chickens and they're like the major hen or the major hen. I can only say hen because the rooster probably wouldn't care. But you follow them. They teach you, but you follow them. You don't just sit in a classroom. You sit in your classroom. Then you go out and find your attending in what specialty you happen to be training in. And then you follow them. They it's very Socratic. They talk to you. They teach you. They show you. They let you do things. They include you. If they're a surgeon, you're holding the retractors. You're scrubbing in on the surgery. Then they talk to you before and after. They teach you while you're writing your notes. It's a whole holistic way of doing things. It's very Socratic. You're just there at the feet of your attending. And he was one of my attendings at one point. And so what struck me was the contrast, because we are so human. You will not escape that look on your face. I remember also my brother, when he first was diagnosed with AIDS, he told me a story. In fact, he wasn't diagnosed then. They didn't even know what it was. That's how early it was. And he was going in for, they were wanting volunteers because they were trying to figure out what was happening to all these young men, these gay young men. That's before they knew that it was going all over heterosexually, all over the globe. But it was very early on, and they were, so he signed up, you know, to see what's up. And but he said he remembered walking in. He was healthy and young and, you know, feeling okay, but thought he would just check. And he said he walked in and there was a guy about his age with his head bent over with big Kaposi's sarcoma, which are these big, ugly, you don't see them much anymore for some reason in people with AIDS, but it was explosive back then. And it's actually a disease that had like a cancer that happens to older Italian men, but this was coming up in the young population that was just unlocking whatever genetic key kept all that at bay. This particular virus was unlocking that, and it was coming up inside their bodies and outside their bodies, so they were very disfigured. And he saw this guy very, very weak and incredibly thin, and he could hardly hold up his head. Now you fast forward 5 or 6 years, and maybe not even 5 or 6 years, let's say 2 or 3 years. Probably 2 or 3 years. And let's go 4 years, because 4 years then from that moment, and I wheeled my brother into the doctor's office. He just wasn't doing well. We had taken him to the emergency room, and everything was mishandled, I have to say. And it was just, I call it a comedy of errors that was not very funny. And, but I remember wheeling him in. I got a new doctor right at the last second, and he said, bring him in right now. So I wheel him into the doctor's office, and there's a young man, beautiful young man, probably 26 years old, staring at my brother with that look on his face. And he was in the office, and most probably he was there to either be diagnosed or is just freshly diagnosed with what was then 100% fatal AIDS. They said it was 100%. As we know now, there were people who had the AIDS virus who didn't, it wasn't fatal to them, but that was very few and far between. And my brother could not hold up his head. And my brother was very thin. And my brother had the Kaposi's on him. And he died. They just said, don't even see the doctor, get to the hospital. He died 4 days later. So the reality, though, at a very young age, these things happen. They happen all the time. And we have compassion if we see it in a news story. But sometimes we don't have a compassion with those that are closest to us. And sometimes we do not have compassion for ourselves. We don't have that compassion for ourselves that you need to have. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have to have compassion. Compassion for yourself is very, very different than self-pity. And where the mental health aspect comes in is when you are still you and you are dealing with these things and you still have those voices. You still have those voices in your head. I don't care what decade you live in, where you have some great little catchphrase of your executive chairperson telling you things, or your tapes playing in the old days when they used to know what tapes were. Whatever it is, it's no different. It was there before, it's here now. Haunted by ghosts in the past. Why do you think, for heaven's sakes, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, whenever the Old Testament was around, that they talk about the things about the past? Because people are haunted by the past. There has always been abuse. There's always been that negative talk from early on that we ingest in ourselves, either through abusive spouses or through parental neglect or through actual parental abuse or through school, through anything, through a particular traumatic event, embarrassing, maybe you're very sensitive, whatever the case may be, something you've had to keep secret, something you've had to keep in the dark, that you keep stuffing down because it's too freaking painful to think about it. And you don't even know that it's back there. These things are all legitimate. And it is not self-pity. It is not self-pity to lay them on the table, the cards on the table, because God knows those cards. God is right there. He sees those cards. He saw those cards when they were happening. He saw the deck. He saw what was happening. Talked to someone this morning on a very long journey into 2 and 3 hours. They do it every single day to make almost nothing with a whole scattered life and a lot of prison time and a lot of addiction time, trying to do the right thing. And there are moments where it's the thinnest ice, just one thing, one less hour sleep, one moment with the blood sugar goes low, and boom, it all starts coming back. And they were talking, why, these are the cards I was dealt, and I'm not doing self-pity. And I knew that. I said, I know you're not doing self-pity. This isn't self-pity. What happens is that you do the best you can. Sometimes you just kind of lose it for a minute. Be gentle with yourself because God is. Love yourself because God does. Know that those cards, that God has seen those cards. He sees your cards. He's looking over your shoulder. He knows your hand. He knows what you're dealt. He knows what's in the deck, and he knows what's coming up next. Well, we'll revisit some of that stuff and more on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today, and I'm walking with you on this road of life. 573-4BREAD-4, you're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. DM live at breadboxmedia.com is my email address. I'm still trying not to cough, so I'm going to mute you for a second. I actually did it all these weeks since Thanksgiving. I've said, I can't find the button. I can't do the button in time, but I could feel that one coming on. Anyway, so dmlive@breadboxmedia.com is my email address, and you're welcome to email me anytime, anytime, day or night. It's all good with anything. Questions, comments, concerns. So the hands that you are dealt, God sees them. He sees everything. He just does. It's part of our life. It's part of our continuum. The sun shines everywhere. Everywhere. At some time, it's shining, even if you are in the dark. It's still shining. It doesn't stop. So God does see your cards. And so you need to have compassion for yourself. And that compassion can be not self-pity, but just to the point of, it's becoming too much now. I'm breaking down. It's just like, you know, here I'm talking to you, and I mean, that in itself, that scene in the whole gamut of my life and what I've been through, what family members have been through, that scene of the attending physician, that necessarily wouldn't, it should be such a, it is a tiny drop in the whole spectrum of my life. And yet, why 20 some years ago, as I'm talking to you, this happened, and 20 some years ago it happened. And right now it just pops in, it comes into my head as vivid, so vivid. And the emotion that I did not have, I mean, I did have a bit of emotion then. And I remember that, just kind of like feeling sad, feeling a sadness, realizing, just having a bunch of realizations at once, and but then going on, because I had to get my x-ray and that was that. But those things that, because it's that face, it's the face, and the face in good humans. And why? What do I mean by good humans? There are those people who have great poker faces and they're good people. But there are those people that they have found. They're among us all around. And not a huge percent, but a good enough percent that study how to show emotion. They don't know how, they don't really have it. They may have sentiment. They may be able to bring tears, but they don't have the depth. They don't have the depth. And there's something missing in the eyes. There's something missing. Now, do not mistake that. I don't even want to get into that, actually, really, now that I think of it, because I don't want you to mistake that, because there are many people out there who just either culturally or that's how they're put together. They don't show it. They just don't. It's either too painful. They just learned how to have, that's just how, what they came by in their life. Quiet people, certain people just don't show that. Certain men may not. It does not say anything, because if you're not crying, if you're not feeling bad about something, doesn't mean you have a deficit. But when you see that face in someone, you have compassion. And why? Because you identify with it. But you have to do the same for yourself. So let's talk a little bit about how we're going to do that. What we do in times of fear. I think a beautiful way, it's sad, but it's beautiful. In the Magnificat for Saturday the 24th. So those of you who read it and don't want to know what tomorrow's is going to be, then don't listen to me for about a minute and a half. But this is a writing during the reflection, the meditation from Jennifer Hubbard. She resides in Newtown, Connecticut. The younger of her two children, Catherine Violet, was a victim of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Now, in the wisdom of the Magnificat editors, they put her in here on Saturday the 24th. Our hearts have to be open. I'm going to read this to you. It's extremely beautiful. Our hearts need to be open to God, and that just sounds so flat when I say it. Remember, I keep mentioning Alfred Delp as well, so I'm going to get to her. I'm going to get to Jennifer in just a second. But remember, I keep mentioning, I mean, for years now, he just struck me. And I actually saw, I was introduced to Alfred Delp years and years and years ago through a Magnificat. And not because of his writing. I happened to see the date that he was executed. I just saw the date. I didn't even know that was execution until I read the thing. And the date was significant to me because it was a birth date of a family member. And it just drew my eye. And I was so fascinated by him. And I read all the books that were written about him. And amazing. So in the beginning, and he wrote some beautiful reflections for Advent, as I told you, as he's a prisoner in this kangaroo court, getting ready for execution. So in the December 2016 Magnificat, the beginning, the first page says, "Dear friends of Magnificat, Father Alfred Delp wrote, Advent is a time for rousing. Humanity is shaken to the very depths so that we may wake up to the truth of ourselves. The primary condition for a fruitful and rewarding Advent is renunciation, surrender. May our Lord bless you with a very rousing Advent. It will be the privilege of the priest editors to remember you and your family in the Christmas masses they will offer. Merry Christmas and Blessed New Year in Jesus and Mary, Reverend Peter John Cameron, Father Peter." This is a man, Alfred Delp, who never made it to sainthood because of some controversy they couldn't prove or disprove, most likely. And whose name, because he's not a saint, is easily forgotten in our Catholic world. But this is a man who wrote, in fact, there's a whole book that revolving around his Advent writings, and I've read them. They are so heartwarming and so heart-opening. But keep this. It's a time for rousing. He's talking, and he's in jail. He's in prison, the Nazi regime, right? So he knows what he's talking about rousing for renunciation and surrender. Wake up to the truth of yourself. Wonderful words. So here is the writing from Jennifer. It just says Christmas. It's in the Magnificat. It's a reflection, the meditation for tomorrow, Saturday, the 24th of December. She writes, "Setting up the nativity, decorating the tree, and wrapping presents all come with quiet echoes of her laughter. For these were some of her last moments on earth. While part of me would very much like to leave the painful box of reminders unopened, we resolved we would not forgo Christmas because Christmas is far too important. I never fully grasped the depth of the Christmas story. I only knew the glow emanating from the manger, Mary's grace, the serenity. It all captivated me. Only after my little one died did I appreciate the depth of what had really happened that first Christmas, and from where the light and calm came. Surely Mary did not anticipate making an exhausting pilgrimage to Bethlehem, yet she walked with grace. Surely she thought that when she arrived there would be room at the inn, and still she accepts a place in the stable. The serenity is palpable as Mary peacefully gazes upon her newborn. Surely she did not expect the one swaddled in her arms to lead her to his cross, yet she will stand at its foot. I've come to see that which I found enchanting is really a promise fulfilled in the manger. It's the reminder that a journey walked in faith, although sometimes painful, is anointed with his peace, grace, and love. Because of that, We have no other option than to open the box of reminders and mark the season in faith, trusting that the baby in the manger is the reason I will see Catherine again. I can't imagine, again, that's Jennifer Hubbard, whose younger of two children, Catherine Violet, was a victim of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. I mean, can you imagine anything more earth-shaking? Maybe you've had something just as earth-shaking happen to you. The perspective that she puts out with this is a gift. It's such a gift to all of us. We'll see you on the other side of the break. You're welcome to call 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, or text. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to BreadBox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. BreadBox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me on this road of life. Oh, tender shepherd, tender moment. It's all about tenderness. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. How deep is your heart? Sometimes we close up. It doesn't mean you're not deep. Very deep person, now deceased, but very deep person who had just gone through war trauma, lots of war trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, really big time. Could not participate in most family activities, couldn't even have more than one family member around at a time because of just too much. Any stimulus was too much. Very bad PTSD, very, very shocking things that occurred during wartime. And this person felt very bad in some respects. They didn't feel bad, but they remarked, I must really be a monster. Because I didn't even cry when my mother died. And we looked at that and we worked with that because in reality, that does not indicate you're a monster. It indicates that you've numbed out. It indicates that it indicates a lot of different things for a lot of different people. Sometimes after you've seen so much death and destruction, controlled death and destruction doesn't seem as, it's not as shocking to you, or you've been shocked so much you have to keep a level. You have to just kind of keep all these little doors locked inside of you. Maybe you're very raw. What I'm trying to get across is you are uniquely you, and any way that you react, compassion, and if you need help, you get help. But compassion for yourself. This beautiful thing that was written by this woman. You know, because we all have our issues in life and our problems. Issue sounds too light of a word. But this beautiful thing that she said, and when she said at the end, it's a reminder that a journey walked in faith, although sometimes painful, is anointed with his peace, grace, and love. Because of that, we have no other option than to open the box of reminders and mark this season in faith, trusting that the baby in the manger is the reason I will see Catherine again, is the reason I will see Catherine again. It's hard for me to even grasp that understanding of how that depth that she has, but I know depth. It's like art. I know good art when I see it. I know good depth when I feel it, when I see it. So that's very, very beautiful. So let's take a quick look then. Let's look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25, where there is an uplifting trust that you have to have, I have to have, that we want to have. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I trust you. Let me not be disappointed. Do not let my enemies triumph. Those who hope in you shall not be disappointed, but only those who wantonly break faith. Lord, make me know your ways. Lord, teach me your paths. Make me walk in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. In you I hope all day long. Because of your goodness, O Lord, remember your mercy, Lord, and the love you have shown from of old. Beautiful. In a little writing here that was taken from 2 Peter, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Then we get the same thing almost from Zechariah. The daybreak from on high will visit us to shine on those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So you may not be feeling the holidays, or you may be feeling the holidays, but we have to join our hands with Jennifer Hubbard, because it's too easy to look at, well, yeah, good for you. I don't have anything. I don't have anybody. And I'm not chastising that. I can fall into that myself. Or if things aren't going well, you've broken a leg, or someone you know is sick, or somebody you don't like so well ruins your holiday plans, or something is timed just perfectly, or you get your slip that you're fired the day before Christmas. It's all, you know, it's so painful. But honor yourself by saying, yeah, okay, I'm going to feel this pain, because it's okay to feel the pain, compassion, as you would someone else. You wouldn't tell them to, you know, oh, you're really a bad person because you're feeling bad right now for this. Oh, it's petty. Look at all these horrible things that are happening to other people. No, you put your arm around them and say, look, you know, what can I do? Let's go have coffee. Let's go have a donut. Let's go, let's sit for a moment. Let's go to adoration together. You do that for even an acquaintance, someone in one of your groups you do that for. Do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. So let's look at a couple more things, because that will help us on our road today before we end this beautiful and sometimes painful week. All right. This is a reading from Anne Voskamp, and I'm just going to read part of it. She says, now here in this juncture of time and space, God chooses the inconceivable grace, because she's talking about conception, relating it to Mary. Conceive. It's not passive, but an active verb. Its root in Latin means nothing less than, quote, to seize, to take hold of, unquote. When grace conceives in you, you take hold of God. When you are a space to receive whatever the will of God is in this moment, as grace, you take hold of God. You most take hold of God when you simply receive Him in this moment, taking hold of you, taking hold of your unsure hand, taking hold of your unseen needs, taking hold of your unknown stresses. He wants to take hold of you, to be with you. He wants to carry you, to be carried by you, to have relationship with you. And that's from Anne Voskamp's book, 1,000 Gifts, which was a New York Times bestseller, by the way. So grace abounds. There is joy to be had. You may not feel it. You may feel that cold and that alone and that isolated. Don't let that happen to you. Even if you are physically that way, don't let that happen to you. Know that there is, what did she just say? Your unsure hand, that God is holding your unsure hand. What is it that Jennifer said? These are people who have walked that hard life, as I said in the beginning of the program. You can't get these extremes in life. And we see what people, not just, we always want, we want the feel good ending. And it doesn't mean that they don't hurt. It doesn't mean that they don't feel pain and alone and isolated and empty. But in that emptiness, they become the manger. In that emptiness, you become the manger. And you make a place as meager and as empty and as non-decorative as you may feel. You make a place for that grace, for grace. As Jennifer said, it is because of his birth that she knows she will see her Catherine again. So in these next few days, even for one moment, be the manger. You don't have to be the big castle. You don't have to be Macy's Christmas windows. Be the manger. Let it happen second by second by second. Anything, anything you do, even if you go out to bring back your garbage can and you happen to see a hummingbird, thank God, which, by the way, symbolizes God's joy. But if you see a neighbor, wave. These are the things of life that bring life. Grace conceived in you, as Ms. Voskamp said. Grace conceived in you. In other words, you get to be, you are conceiving. Let it be done unto you. It's grace that's being conceived in you, with God knowing all your cards, with God holding your unsure hand, and with God holding your heart. You be the manger. I'll be the manger. I think I'm going to try to take my advice today and tomorrow and the next day. So we'll be mangers together and receive. We're going to receive. We're going to conceive the grace that God is placing in our manger, because it isn't humble and it isn't less than. It is more than anything we can conceive of. Well, God bless you all. Merry Christmas. I am Dr. Michelle. Email me anytime, DM live, breadboxmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.